All right, we are here with the author, Don Chaney, and Germ, who's back in Redlands.
Ah!
We're doing chapter 17.
Okay. Here we go.
How many did you do outdoors last time?
Zero.
Yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. Ooh.
Okay.
Here we go.
Chapter 17. I'm creaming my jeans. Chris's voice was threatening to throw red grouse into pie. Ah, I'm just kidding. Actually, Mr. Madero's creaming his jeans. Lindy rolled her eyes. If I had a dime for every, she murmured from her sarcophagus. When Lindy wasn't rolling her eyes at Chris, she was rolling the dice at Viejas. She'd tell her parents she was going to the salad bar to play on the couch with the Millers. Whenever Chris attempted to lie, he was caught, strapped to his camel and sent south of the border, unable to even wipe the grime from his own eyes. Lindy would throw a pie in his face as he passed by her on his way south. I've never even heard the kind of insults that were coming out of this cheeky monkey's mouth, Chris said, looking at Mr. Madero's watch to see what time the doll thought it was. Where and when in the piss Chris was not clear, nor was this sentence. That was not my sense of humor. So, whose sense of humor was it? Lindy believed in leaving no cold goo unturned. Why would you unleash such fury on an unsuspecting, and I may add, captive audience? But, can't you see the dog for the lice? Chris was getting both chillingly tired and tiringly chilly. It's that fucking Kozak Mr. Moderno. I didn't say squat. Then how come you're growing copious amounts of ganja in the backyard? Lindy didn't know if she was changing the subject or getting Chris in more trouble, or both. You would have to be high to think that act was funny, Chris. Do you have any original thought in that canny brain of yours? That's not fair, Chris insisted. I've got enough of the chronic for everyone. I don't ingest anything that isn't soy-based, Lindy said, relying on the dead section of her brain, where all the brazenness and stupidity resided. And if I had a career chilling the chronic, I wouldn't be trying to copy everything my sister did. Lindy, for Christ's sake, Chris implored. I'm asking you to shut up, and I'm asking you to tell the truth, not both. Ah, I see, Lindy said with mauve sarcasm. I'm supposed to shut up and tell the truth. Ha! My God, you're a jackass, Chris. Why couldn't I have been born in a monastery with toy trucks to play with and a silent monks for playmates? Karate, Chris said discordantly. He was so sure he wouldn't need his eyes that he took them out and sent them to be waxed and polished. You belong in a loony bin, Lindsay said. And I'm not engaging with you anymore. With you or with Mom and Dad. She looked at Palmolive. It would be better if Palmolive and I were somewhere where you cheeky monkeys were not. Because despite your name and your knob, I'm not so sure that you're not my twin sister. Palmolive looked at the twin girls, and then she looked at Mr. Moderno, who had been built out of piss and stapled together with duct tape. It was warm and getting ruder. Christine and her camel's ghost were on one side of the room, and the dummies were on the other side. Lindy was on another side of the room, their parents on yet another. The voices of the spectators all rumbled at once. The media had been summoned, and cameras flashed, and all eyes looked at Chris. For the first time in her life, Chris was nervous. How come I have makeup on and I'm looking at the tan gentleman so longingly? The voice inside Chris's head seemed the same, kind of high-pitched and squeaky, but her feelings were certainly different, or at least they seemed certainly different.
Good.
She felt like she would revive the dead. She felt like hurling some more insults at the Millers. Her parents had always stopped her from saying more than two words, and now she knew why. When Chris had been born, a full minute after Lindy, the adults had gotten together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled pixie dust on her and named her Christine, but called her Chris, and never told her that she was a girl and that Lindy was her fraternal twin. I never have had to think so much to do anything, let alone to reconstruct my gender identity, she thought into the miasma. I think that we're a couple of girls with a couple of parents who don't know their asses from a hole in the ground. It didn't matter to anyone what gender Chris was, as long as she still hissed and as long as she realized she had been sentenced to a life of poverty. Over her shoulder and poured tomato sauce all over the front lawn. Then she grabbed Mr. Moderno, slammed him into the kitchen table, and began rabbit punching him in the breadbasket. Then she started quietly weeping and threw a ladder over her shoulder. And on top of all that, her performance was supposed to begin. Showtime! Lindy screamed, knowing that Chris was off in some corner, crying because of all the crass things she had done as a part of her time on Earth as a male. Thank you, Chris, said, debilitated. She took Mr. Moderno and stuck her hand up his ass. Hey, Mr. Moderno came to life. Your hand is pedagogical. He hissed when he talked. Ha ha, pedagogical, that's funny, Chris said nervously and then whispered. None of your goddamn insults. Feigning surprise, the little dummy grinned like, well, a dummy. Huh? He looked away from Chris. Seemed like he didn't have control of his eyes. Chris's reaction was such that it started in her clavicle and moved down to her spine, where she normally kept all of her reactions. This time that fuck had better not fuck this up. I'll tear his eyes out again. She thought this while looking at Mr. Moderno as if he was a gunny sack about to be gunned down. 3 minutes into my own personal gender dysphoria, and I'm already sick of putting up with men's shit. Nervous? Someone asked. Huh? Seemed that not only had Mr. Moderno said that, but that it was also the only thing he was going to say. But then a series of images rapidly appeared in Chris's mind, and they were of her, Mr. Moderno, and Mrs. Berman, the music teacher. Yeah, and don't make me smack any of you, Chris said, and then sat down like she had been rocketed into the chair. Why are you looking at me like that? A seductive Miss Berman said, tipping her hat to Chris and winking. That was one robust woman, goddammit, with a voracious mandibles, a pint-sized ass, and red and black on her black shoes. Her vest was low-cut and not afraid to show off her budding roses. Come sit on Mama's lap. And Chris didn't know if she was talking to her or to the dummy. Suddenly, her nervous system saw the scenario perfectly. Miss Berman's intense white teeth were there to seduce her and Mr. Moderno. I'm either going to pinch myself and the world will go away, Chris said to herself, or I'm going to bust a cap in my head and my cerebral cortex will go away, taking the world with it. She gulped and the fire that burned down her throat burned straight to her heart, where she could hear Miss Berman's invitation over and over. She closed her eyes, expecting to hear applause. Instead, she began choking the carcinogens out of Mr. Moderno, whose tiny wooden hands tried to grab the microphone. Miss Berman, now carrying flowers for Chris, tried to bamboozle her way into the scenario. When she walked up to the scenario, she got hisses and grunts, and they were not of solidarity. Chris moved to the center of the scenario, treating it like a corner kick, when actually it was a bright and shiny churro. Her back was receding into itself, and she started questioning why she hadn't busted a cap in her own head and let all the gum just snore out. It was a silly pledge she had made many years ago. No pina coladas and no busting a cap into her own dome. She also knew it was silly to indulge Mr. Moderno in his rodent fantasies and god complexes, when all she wanted was to take the microphone and start smashing people's heads with it. This ranked everyone she knew because they expected her to recite the encyclopedia. Chris and Mr. Moderno in a chokehold, trying to pry his cold, dead fingers from the microphone. Is there a problem? Miss Berman asked as she tried to exit the scenario while rapidly blowing air kisses at Chris. But before the band could break into Death Cab for Cutie, Mr. Moderno gained control of the microphone. Isn't it time for your 9 o'clock enema? Mr. Moderno grunted in the direction of the gender dysphoric music teacher. Miss Berman breathed the breath of the horrible. Chris, if you try to come on to her or us again, I'm going to cut off your unmentionables. Do we understand each other? Cameras flashed everywhere, but there was also a mezzanine of suspicion and a balcony of horror. Chris, go suffocate yourself. Miss Berman couldn't get sex off her mind no matter what kind of comedy was ringing itself around her. You are such a mass of confusion. You are such a piece of crap, Mr. Moderno declared, moving his lips. If you're so predatory toward a preteen girl, I'm going to have to go postal on you. Chris, what is this? I mean, I believe in existentialism as much as the next guy, Miss Berman said, and set fire to the show's program. Miss Berman, I haven't gotten a copy of the program yet. Chris was tart and getting tartier. And it's not me saying any of this shit. Oh, bite me. Come on. You expect me to believe that? Miss Berman existentialized. Mr. Moderno leaned his head toward the microphone and screamed. Bite me? Bite this! And Mr. Moderno dropped his pants and grabbed his package. The dummy's head then turned all the way around, and without the aid of any cold goo, turned all the way back. And then green goo sprayed from his mouth, out at the audience. "Pooh-waj," Mr. Moderno blurted, and then wiped his mouth with his sleeve. Oh. It looked like Moderno had gotten hold of some bad pea soup. Someone opened a door, trying to get the liquid and the smell out of the auditorium. People quickly started filing out. "Bastard? Soccer player? What? Oh yeah, churro eater? Halo player?" Chris held these images of terror in his mind's eyes. It was possibly the most hedonistic sight he'd ever seen since Mr. Moderno does Palm Olive. And then there was the purification factor. It smelled like milk that had been cordoned off, eggs that had been poured on a podiatrist. I got that, right. College grad. Guacamole made from used bubble gum, dentured meat, and the liquid had inundated everyone and everything. Before she stopped reflecting on the scene, Chris couldn't keep from smiling at the public frenzy, but the sound of gagging and retching and asphyxiating brought her back to worrying about what her parents would say. "So much for the auditorium, so much for the new fucking music venue," Miss Berman sounded ungrateful. Chris now heard the gagging of strep throats and the gnashing of propellers as people pushed and shoved, trying to get to the door before they passed out. "Hedonist? My sentiments exactly. Please, you can do better. Soccer player?" Chris tried to move her hand to make Mr. Badano apologize, but the putrefaction factor made her turn and throw up on Miss Berman instead. She'd have to repent later when God himself wasn't running in terror. She washed her hands of all of this. Or at least he wished that she could wash her hands. The green goo seemed to be growing all over, and she didn't think that anyone in the auditorium was going to lend her a hanky. When everything seemed calm, God vaulted down. But it was Miss Berman, wiping cold and green goo from her body, who spoke first. I have never seen such bad comedy. Not in my life." Miss Berman was rabid with gripes as she limped toward Chris and Mr. Moderno. She pulled a scalpel from her vest and held it to Chris's throat. "Maybe I can't have you sexually, Chris, but I as sure as fuck can suspend you from school. And if you'll stand still for me, oh man, you don't want to know, I'm going to slit your throat and suspend you for life."
Wow. Thanks, Jim.
Right on.
We weren't kidding when we said it was getting out of hand. Oh, all right. Yeah. Thanks, Jim.
No problem. It was my pleasure. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome.